Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by for JinkoSolar Holdings Co., Ltd. fourth quarter 2023 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After management's prepared remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's call, to Ms. Stella Wang, JinkoSolar's Investor Relations. Please proceed, Stella.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's fourth quarter 2023 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, Mr. Gener Miao, CMO of JinkoSolar Company Limited, Mr. Pan Li, CFO of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, and Mr. Charlie Cao, CFO of JinkoSolar Company Limited. Mr. Li will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Pan Li, who will go through the financials. We will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor Provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements, except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead,
Mr. Li.
We are pleased to have achieved a very impressive operational and financial results in a challenging year by leveraging our advantages in N-type TOPCon technology, globalized operations, and integrated capability. Thanks to strong execution by our team, our module shipment for the full year increased 76.4% year-over-year to 78.5 GW, back to the top position in the industry. Benefiting from our efforts in cost optimization, our profitability for the full year improved significantly year-over-year, with gross margin at 16% compared to 14.8% in 2022. Net income was $485.8 million, up 4.66x year-over-year. Adjusted net income was $573.8 million, up 1.93x year-over-year. Module shipments in the fourth quarter was 26.3 GW, exceeding our guidance. As module prices fell more than expected in the fourth quarter, and nearly 50% of our modules were sold to the Chinese market at lower prices, Gross margin for the fourth quarter was 12.5%, a significant decline from 19.3% in the third quarter.
2023年国内光伏新增装机达到了 216.88 吉瓦，同比增长了 148.1%， 再创历史新高。与此同时，产业链各环节的供需失衡导致了价格下跌，组件中标价格年底较年初下降了超过 40%， 跌破了1元每瓦。2023年光伏产品的出口量同比大幅增长，但由于价格下跌，出口额同比小幅下跌。今年1月和2月需求淡季叠加，部分厂商的恶性竞争加剧了市场恐慌和价格的非理性。丁哥面对低价竞标保持了谨慎和理性。此外，一些不具备成本和产品竞争力的厂商纷纷减产或者停产，我们的开工率仍维持在行业领先的水平。3月随着需求回暖和库存去化，逐渐价格逐渐企稳，部分招标价格有所回升，但中期来看，组件价格的下降将显著提升光伏的经济性。预计2024年全球光伏市场需求会持续增长，同比新的技术快速迭代和老旧产能的淘汰也会加速行业的整合。 TOP10 组件的企业的市占率有望从2023年的 70% 提升到2024年的 90% 以上。我们有信心在这一轮周期波动中不断增强竞争力，预计2024年金科的市占率相距将会有进一步的增长。
In China, newly added PV installation reached 216.88 gigawatts in 2023, up 148.1% year-over-year to a historical high.At the same time, excess supply in various links of the industrial chain led to price declines. Tender prices for modules at the year-end decreased over 40% to below RMB 1 yuan per watt. Compared to the beginning of the year, export volumes of PV products in 2023 increased significantly year-over-year, whereas export volume fell slightly as a result of decreasing prices.In January and February 2024, seasonality combined with extreme competition from certain manufacturers intensified market panic and irrational prices. We remain cautious and rational in the face of abnormally low tenders. In addition, while some manufacturers without competitive cost or advanced products reduce or suspend production, we maintained our leading utilization rates in the industry.As a result of cost advantage and high order visibility. Into March, as demand picked up and inventory reduced, module prices gradually stabilized and some bidding prices rebounded slightly. In the short to mid-term, we expect the decline in module price will significantly improve the economics of solar energy, and we anticipate demand in the global PV market will continue to increase in 2024.Meanwhile, rapid iteration of new technologies and the elimination of obsolete production capacity will also accelerate the consolidation of the industry. Market share for the top 10 module manufacturers is expected to increase from 70% in 2023 to over 90% in 2024. We are confident to consistently enhance our competitiveness through cyclical fluctuations.And we expect our market share to further increase in 2024.
受益于垂直一体化的制造站和在 N 型 TOPCon 展期的领先地位，截止四季度末，我们的 N 型产能已经超过70个吉瓦，成本结构持续优化。目前 N 型 TOPCon 电池量产效率超过26%， N 型一体化的成本相比于 P 型基本持平。随着新电池技术和持续导入。和降本工艺的优化，我们的成本结构将会变得更有竞争力。
Thanks to our integrated manufacturing strategy and a leading position in N-type TOPCon technology in the early stage, by the end of fourth quarter, our N-type capacity exceeded 70 gigawatts, and our cost structure continues to improve. Currently, our mass-produced N-type cell efficiency exceeds 26%, while the integrated cost of N-type is almost on par with P-type. With the continuous introduction of new cell technologies and optimization of cost reducing process, our cost structure is expected to become more competitive.
我们高度重视对知识产权的保护，专注于通过广泛的知识产权以保持技术领先。截至四季度末，公司已获得多达330个 N 型 TOPCon 的授权专利，成为全球持有 TOPCon 授权专利最多的公司之一。
We attach great importance to intellectual property rights and are fully focused on sustaining our technical leadership based on extensive intellectual property rights.By the end of the fourth quarter, we had been granted 330 TOPCon patents, one of the largest portfolios of granted TOPCon patents in the world.
凭借行业最大的超12个 G 瓦一体瓦海外产能和不断完善的供应链追溯体系，我们已经成为美国市场最可靠性最高的组件供应商，预计24年会有明显的盈利释放，创新的生产模式和投入也会随着时间的推移体现回报。山西大基地1727将按照计划于上半年投产，并在下半年逐步爬坡。自动化的全线贯通可以大幅提升人工效率和运行周转效率，预计满产后可以带来较明显的运营成本的下降。
With the largest overseas integrated capacity of over 12 gigawatts in the industry and an effective supply chain traceability system,we have become the most reliable module supplier to the U.S. market, which is expected to generate significant profits in 2024. Furthermore, our investment in innovative production model is expected to generate returns over time. Phase 1 and 2 of our integrated projects in Shanxi will start production in the first half of 2024 as planned, and gradually ramp up in the second half.The full integration of automation can greatly improve labor efficiency and operation turnover efficiency, and is expected to bring a significant reduction in operating costs after reaching full production.
中长期来看 ，AR 和电动车的迅速扩张可能导致全球电力供应紧张，全球对清洁能源发电的需求有望进一步的增长。目前光伏成本的下降已经大幅提升了光伏在能源行业的竞争力。未来光伏作为新质生产力必将在应对能源危机和能源转型中发挥越来越重要的力量。我们看好光伏市场的中长期增长空间，有信心凭借先进的技术和优质高效的产品继续引领行业。
In the mid to long term, the rapid expansion of AI and electrical vehicles.Mainly to tight power supply in the world, and the demand for clean power generation is expected to further increase. So far, reduced solar cost has significantly increased the competitiveness of solar in the energy sector. In the future, solar as a new quality productive force is set to play an increasingly important role in face of energy crisis and energy transformation.We are bullish about PV market growth in the mid to long term, and we are confident we will continue to lead the industry with advanced technologies and premium high-efficiency products.
考虑到供应链和市场情况，2024年的投资强度相对于2023年有明显下降。我们专注于先进 N 型产能的投资，包括山西大基地一体化 N 型产能28个 G 瓦和越南 N 型电池和组件产能约4 G 瓦。公司将致力提高运营资本效率和实现经营现金流的可持续增长。
Taking into account supply chain and market conditions, we are reducing investments in capacity expansion in 2024. We are focusing on expanding our advanced N-type capacity, including 28 gigawatts of integrated capacity in our Shanxi plant, and about 4 gigawatts of N-type cell and module capacity in Vietnam.We continue to focus on improving working capital efficiency and achieving sustainable growth in operating cash flow.
话题交给 Jenna 之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。预计2024年底 N 型电池量产效率将达到 26.5%， 单晶硅片高效电池组件的产能分别达到120个 G 瓦、 110个吉瓦和130个吉瓦，其中 N 型产能占比 90% 以上。2024年第一季度逐渐出货量在18个吉瓦到20个吉瓦之间，2024年全年逐渐出货量100个吉瓦到110个吉瓦之间，其中 N 型出货量占比接近 90%。
Before turning over to Jenner, I would like to go over our guidance for the first quarter and the full year of 2024. By the end of 2024, we expect mass-produced N-type cell efficiency to reach 26.5%. We expect our annual production capacity for mono wafers, solar cells, and solar modules to reach 120, 110, and 130 gigawatts respectively by the end of 2024.This N-type capacity accounting for over 90% of total capacity. We expect the module shipments to be in the range of 18 to 20 gigawatts for the first quarter of 2024 and 100 gigawatts to 110 for the full year 2024, with N-type accounting for nearly 90% of total module shipments.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. Thank you, Ms. Lee.We are pleased to have achieved a historical high in quarterly and annual module shipments thanks to our excellent global marketing network and the power of our product. Total shipments were 27.9 gigawatt in the fourth quarter, with module shipment accounting for approximately 95%. Annual module shipment increased 76.4% year over year to 78.5 gigawatt.And both module shipments in the fourth quarter and the full year 2024 ranked world number one. We continued to improve product quality and build our customer service network to expand the influence of our brand. By the end of fourth quarter, our accumulated global module shipment exceeded 210 gigawatts, covering more than 190 countries and regions.In terms of a geographic mix, China and Asia-Pacific became our major shipment regions in the fourth quarter, accounting for approximately 70%. For the full year 2023, shipment to Asia-Pacific and North America grew significantly, more than doubling year over year. As we continue to expand our footprint in overseas markets and build our integrated capacity, we move on to invest in North America and emerging markets.Based on our business conditions and market trends, China and Europe will continue to be the major contributor to the shipment in 2024, with North America, emerging markets, and Asia-Pacific expected to flourish. On the product front, the competitive high-efficiency Tiger New accounted for 70% of the shipment in the fourth quarter, with average premium of RMB 10 cents per watt versus P-type modules.And the Tiger New accounted for approximately 60% of annual global shipment, achieving the goal we set at the beginning of the year, and accelerated its market penetration globally. Currently, the power output of Tiger New modules is more than 30 watt peak higher than that of the similar P-type module, providing our customers with higher power generation yield.Shipments of our Tiger New were expected to account for over 85% in the first quarter 2024 and its product strength to continue to lead the industry. We are always committed to bring greater economic value to our customer with high efficiency, highly reliable product, and sustainable solutions. Recently, we unveiled the first new green panels produced with renewable energy.These panels were produced in factories that were awarded the Zero Carbon Factory certification by TUV Rheinland. Jinko Solar is also the first company in the industry to be awarded with Zero Carbon Factory certification by TUV for silicon in the manufacturing, wafer cutting, cell manufacturing, and module manufacturing.We also continue to improve our ESG practices and optimize our traceability system. In the first quarter, we were awarded with the ESG Transparency Award from EUPD Research, which recognizes our far-reaching commitment to sustainability and transparency. Recently, bidding for some domestic projects began to activate it. EU inventories became depleted, and we have seen additional demand, especially in DG business. This gradually improved the PV economics and the growing demand for transmission to clean energy globally. PV demand in the global market is expected to further increase in 2024, but at a relatively slower pace than in 2023. In longer term, the requirement of AI for computing power will further increase the demand for electricity and electrical equipment, ensuring strong growth potential for PV plus storage. As a responsible global company, we are always committed to providing clients with reliable and highly efficient products and solutions, practicing the values we share with our clients, partners, and investors to accelerate to a greener future. With that, I turn the call over to Pat.
Thanks to solid execution of our operation and management strategies, as well as successful efforts in cost optimization, we delivered excellent financial performance for the full year. Key metrics such as total revenues, gross margins, income from operations, and net income all significantly increased year over year. We also improved working capital efficiency and optimized operating cash flow. By the end of the fourth quarter, we had cash and cash equivalents of $2.75 billion, and our net debt decreased by over 20% year over year. In December, we announced the extension of our existing share repurchase program, and by the end of February this year, we had repurchased nearly 1 million ADS in aggregate amount of approximately $28 million. With our advantages in anti-TOPCon technology, globalized operations, and integrated capacity, we are very confident in our growth prospect and will continue to improve working capital efficiency and achieve sustainable growth in operating cash flow. Let me go into more details now. Total revenue was $4.6 billion, an increase of 3% sequentially and more than 9% year over year. Gross margin was 12.5%, compared with 19% in the third quarter and 14% in the fourth quarter of 2022. The decreases were mainly due to the decrease in average selling prices of solar modules. Total operating expenses were $526 million. The increases were mainly attributed to loss of disposal on PPE and expense in relation to settlement of a dispute with customer. Operating margin was 1.1% compared with 2% last year. Excluding the impact from a change in fair value of the notes and long-term investments and share-based compensation expenses, adjusted net income attributed to Jinko Solar Holding Company, ordinary shareholders were $65 million compared with $45 million in the fourth quarter last year, up 73% year over year. Now I'll brief you on our 23 full year financial results. Total module shipments were 78.5 gigawatts, up 76% year over year, and total revenues up 43% year over year. For the full year 2023, gross profit was about $2.7 billion US, an increase of 55% year over year. Gross margin was 16% compared to 14.8%. The increase was mainly attributed to the decrease in the material cost of solar modules. Total operating expenses were 1.8 billion, up 9% over a year. The increase was mainly due to an increase in impairment loss on PPE, an expense in relation to settlement of dispute with customer, and an increase in staff cost. Operating margin for the full year of 23 was 5% compared to 0.5% last year. Excluding the impact from a change in fair value of notes, long-term investments, and share-based compensation expenses, adjusted net income attributed to Jinko Solar Holdings ordinary shareholders was about 574 million, up nearly 2 times year-over-year. Let's move into the balance sheet. As mentioned, at the end of the fourth quarter, our cash and cash equivalents were significantly higher at 2.75 billion, up from 1.93 billion at the end of the third quarter and 1.64 billion at the end of the fourth quarter of 2022. AR turnover days were down to 76 days in the fourth quarter from 87 days in the third quarter. Inventory turnover days were down to 57 days from 67 days in the third quarter. The total debt was 4.38 billion at year end compared to 4 billion last year. And net debt was 1.6 billion compared to 2.3 billion last year. This concludes our prepared remarks. We are now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Philip Shen with Roth MKM. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. First one is on pricing. Was wondering if you could share with us the Q4 ASP. Sorry if I missed it. And then what do you expect that ASP to be in Q1 and Q2 as we get through the year? Thanks.
Hey, Jenner, would you like to answer a question? Hey, Philip, can you hear me? This is Charles speaking. Yeah. Okay, Jenner.
Yes,
please.
I can hear you. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Phil. I'm traveling, so I didn't get all of your question, but I heard it's about pricing, right? So is it the pricing significant drop happens across December to January. So that means if we compare the ASP between Q4 and Q1, definitely there will be a big gap because of the market price changes. The detail number wise, I don't have that with me, right? Sorry for that.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Jenner, thanks for that. So can you share what the ASP was in Q4 for modules? And then can you quantify how much lower Q1 might be? Thanks.
Charlie, can you take that? I don't have the number with me now.
Yeah. Philip, I think the most important thing is we believe it's kind of the panic sales, you know, the module, recent, you know, let's say 2 quarters. And we don't believe the price, particularly in China, is sustainable, and we're expecting, and as well as the market, you know, expecting the module price has been stabilized, and maybe up a little bit, you know, and back to the pricing, depending on different markets, you know, the U.S. is pretty, you know, significantly a price premium, and you know, Europe is a little bit better, you know, than China, and different segments, you know, DG versus utility has different, you know, price difference. And And but answer your questions, I think you want to explore is for sure, you know, if Q1, Q2 versus Q4 last year, we think the ASP, you know, is still in the downward trend, but it's not dramatically, but, you know, slightly, you know, and we think, you know, it's reaching to the bottom, you know, in the first half year of 2024 for the ASP, you know.
Okay. But you have the average selling price for all the regions for Q4, right? Can you share that price for Q4?
No, we don't disclose, but you can calculate the blended, you know, if you take the total revenue with this module share. And typically we have, I think, 95% of the revenue is coming from module business.
Okay, thank you. So it sounds like the bottom could be Q1 or Q2, or do you think the bottom is more Q2 or more Q1 in terms of module pricing?
I think different company has different, you know, mix, but I think it's a relatively, you know, stable Q2 versus Q1. Maybe a little bit lower, but it's not significant. And that's what we are looking at. And the most important thing is we think China, the demand is exceeding the expectations. You know, China demand is very, very good. And Europe, you know, the destock has been completed, and they're picking up, you know, the stock. So we think there's a kind of the improved, you know, outlook, you know, from the demand side. But there's still some, you know, oversupply situations. But for Jinko, we have more, you know, 90% is N-type and global sales and manufacturing capabilities. And we think we are relatively better, you know, and than the other peers. And but it takes time, you know, for the low inflation, say, capacity, you know, tier 2, tier 3 companies phase out. But it takes time. But we think the most important thing, mm-hmm. we focus on our attractiveness and throughout the you know, a relatively challenging year. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Charles. Shifting over to margins. So you've given us a little bit of a framework for how to think about pricing trends through the year. How do you expect, what do you expect your margins to be for Q1? You know, I know you haven't given official guidance, but, you know, just relative to Q4, you know, maybe you can say a little bit up or down or something. And then as it relates to Q2, you know, do you see, like, when do you see a bit of a recovery of the margins? Thanks.
Yeah, it's, you know, we estimate, you know, the Q1, Q2, the first half of the year, it's a little bit lower, you know, slightly lower versus Q4 last year. It's not dramatic lower for the Q4 versus Q3 last year. It's slightly lower, you know, throughout the Q1, Q2. But we believe there's opportunities, and for the second half of the year, maybe profitability will to expand.
Got it. That's very helpful. And then finally, I think in your slides, you talked about 2 gigawatts of integrated U.S. capacity. Again, sorry if I missed this, but does that mean you might do wafer, cell, and module in the U.S.? And can you share, you know, if so, like what the locations are? Sorry, I'll leave it there and I have one follow-up on that topic. Thanks.
Yeah, the U.S. capacity, we started the construction last year, and it's getting ready, I think, very quickly in March or April to start the operation. It's a 100% module, 2 gigawatts, no wafer cell. But we have integrated your capacity in South, East, the Vietnam, Malaysia, you know, the capacity is roughly 12 to 14 gigawatts. And in the combinations, you know, with the 2 gigawatts, you know, the module capacity in the U.S., I think we are in a good position, you know. And On top of that, you know, we have separate, you know, independent supply chain from the poly, everything, you know, to the module. And we have very good, you know, traceability systems and the proof record, right, in the last year. So we think, you know, this year is we have more market opportunities and to catch up, you know, for the next 2 or 3 years, you know, for the U.S. market.
Got it. Okay. So it's only 2 gigawatts of module, or it is 2 gigawatts of module. The way it was written on the slide, slide six, it sounded like 2 gigawatts of integrated capacity could be in the U.S. But my follow-up here, and then I'll wind it down, is what is, and this might be a bit of a tough question, but what is your view of the discussion around the foreign entity of concern language, which a lot of people are talking about could be added to the 45X manufacturing PTC, which might make it more difficult for you guys to add or to receive the PTC. You know, you're ramping up your facility basically now, if not maybe in a month in April. To what degree does that concern you? Are you following that topic at all? Thank you.
I'm not familiar with the topics you are talking about. The foreign entities, you know, the regulations update, but we will follow up, you know, after the call. But I think I'm not sure you're talking about, you know, like the semiconductor, you know, the sensitive, you know, technology. But we think solar is more, you know, pervasive and very common, you know, for for each country to develop, and it's not data sensitive. But anyway, we will follow up, you know, the topic you are talking about, but I'm not familiar with the progress.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie. I know I asked a lot of questions. Appreciate it. We'll pass it on.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Alan Law with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I would like to know, because there's a very detailed capacity expansion plan, and just would like to ask a bit on the details. So by the end of 2024, it would be 120 and then 110 and 130 gigawatt for wafer cell and module. So my question is mainly on the cell. Because the company has 70 gigawatt of TOPCon by the end of 2023, and then supposedly the remaining 20 gigawatt is PERC. So, and then by the end of this year, it's 110. So will it be 100 gigawatt of TOPCon plus 10 gigawatt of PERC? If that is the case, then do you mean you would impair the 10 gigawatt of PERC this year?
The answer is we will phase out 20 gigawatts, you know, the per capacity throughout the year. That's the plan. And we have one, everything we have discussed by the end of the year, the capacity is 100% N type. It's not, no, you know, P type, you know, capacity. The cell capacity is 110. And the major part is, you know, the 28 gigawatts, the Shanxi Yushu factories, plus what we are talking about, the Vietnam, you know, 4 gigawatts, as well as we have some improvement of production, you know, the volume, you know, existing capacity. So total is 110, you know, for the entire top capacity. We did have 28 gigawatts per capacity, and we don't have plan to upgrade, and we think it's not economic, makes sense. And the most important thing is we have depreciated, you know, the capacity over 5 years. So we don't believe, you know, we have significant burden, you know, for the 20 gigawatts, the PERC. And we focus on the technology, the new technology and new product. That is, I think, that is the smart decision.
I see. So just to confirm, you basically for the 20 gigawatt of PERC, they are fully depreciated. So basically, they were built in 2019, and then by now they are fully depreciated. So you do not see major impairment risk this year, right?
Yes, roughly, yes. And we did have some kind of residual value, but it's not significant. Most of the assets has been depreciated.
Yes, yeah, that's very impressive because a lot of peers in this industry might have a lot of impairment this year. So my next question is, what is the new signed ASP for the contracts that you are signing in the U.S. market? Because I have been hearing different feedback saying that prices for utility projects in the U.S. are declining from 30 cents to below 30 cents since 4Q. So I'd like to learn your view on this front.
Yeah, there's a kind of, I think, public index, and for the U.S., the price range is relatively, I think, a very, relatively big, you know, high 20, low 30, what kind of the, in our range. And it looks like it's in the downward trend, but relatively stable. And, you know, the different customers, different, you know, the preference. And we think we are in a good position, and because we traceability is, and we have separate, you know, poly and with through the modules, and we think we can sell relatively, you know, the price premium with our peers.
Thanks. So you've mentioned overseas polysilicon. So we'd like to have an update on the overseas polysilicon price. Is it rebounding or it's still trending down?
I think in the recent, you know, three months, it's relatively stable because, you know, the polysilicon, the out of China is around 100,000 metric tons. It's no new capacity are expected in the next 1.5 years. But the other thing is maybe some China poly, through the, but I think the, there's a, you know, relatively risk, you know, and there's a very complicated compliance, and so we don't see significant the downward and the relatively stable, you know.
I see. So switching gear to the European market, because you have mentioned destocking has basically completed. So we'd like to follow up on this. Like, are you receiving orders in normalized manner? Like, what are the is it from the residential market or it's mainly from the utilities market in Europe?
I think both, but in the recent quarter, I think the majority is the DG and the market, yeah. But we see this year both, you know, utility and the DG will, you know, grow year over year.
So you don't see inventory as an issue even in the DG market anymore? Because last year it was a huge issue.
Yeah. And last year, the first half year is built the stock, right, for the DG distributors and D stock, you know, so I think 5 or 6 months. And it looks like, on top of that, even not only in the European market as well as other markets, the customers, they are waiting to the bottom of the module price. But it looks like, you know, stabilized. I think, you know, the price is not sustainable. A lot of customers accelerate, you know, the purchase decisions, as well as the destock, you know, the stock level is going back to normalized level in Europe. And plus the logistic issue, Red Sea, you know, issue. So we see, you know, the rebound, you know, from the European market. And the second quarter, pretty sure it's a strong quarter for the European market.
Sure. And in your PowerPoint, I think it's The first time that you have officially put ESS into the whole press release. So we'd like to know, do you have any quantitative shipment target on ESS? Because I know you have capacity for more than 10 gigawatt hour. So we'd like to know on that one.
Storage and we build up the capabilities, you know, the teams, products, capacities, and the majority from last year. And the key focus is develop our R&D capabilities and products and focus on some key markets. And so far it's in the relatively early stage, but we are confident and we will discuss maybe the full year, you know, the guidance and later this year, you know, maybe in the second quarter, third quarter. But this year we think, you know, it's a good opportunity to catch up the markets and build a strong foundation for the next few years. So that's the key focus, not the focus for the shipment of this year.
Thanks. Thanks a lot for the comprehensive information. So I'll pass on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from William Griffin with UBS. Please go ahead.
Excellent. Thank you very much. My first question was just on your 300-plus patent portfolio. I was wondering if you could provide a little more color on where those patents are granted. Are any of them international? And, you know, one of your peers is out there asserting their IP rights related to some TOPCon technologies. Just maybe, you know, how are you thinking about that? How do you view that relative to your patent portfolio? Thank you.
The patents and that, you know, we put a lot of R&D, you know, efforts in the recent couple of years, and we developed and discussed, right, over 300 TOPCon patents, which we developed ourselves. On top of that, we have additional more TOPCon patents by acquisition from others. And the patent is our key, you know, differentiators and the key strategies. And we licensed to one of the top 10 module company and one of the top 5, you know, solar cell companies. And it's an illustration how we strong and capable our R&D teams on the, you know, the cutting edge technology.
Okay, yeah, appreciate that. And then just on the 26% mass production N-type cell efficiency that you referenced in the press release, how do you expect that to translate into mass production module efficiency, and when do you think that would ultimately be realized in mass production? Thank you.
26% cell capacity, we have reached to that level, you know, the mass production, and our target is end of this year, 26.5%.
All right. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Sorry. And I think, you know, that's for the standard, the 182, I think, you know, we are targeting roughly 610 to maybe 620 watt, you know, for standard 182 modules. Yeah.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Rajiv Chaudhry with Intrinsic Edge. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I have a few questions. First of all, just in terms of housekeeping, Can you tell us what the depreciation number was in the fourth quarter and what you expect it to be in 2024?
So sorry, could you repeat again?
Yes. The question was about depreciation in the fourth quarter and what the expectation is for 2024.
Oh, depreciations. It's roughly, I think, 6 billion to 7 billion RMB, for 2024. So each quarter, roughly 1.5 to, I think, 1.8 billion.
Sorry, can you repeat that? 1.5 to 1.8 billion RMB?
RMB, yes, depreciations.
And that's in 2024. What about the fourth quarter?
Last year, right?
Yes, 23. Yes, sorry.
Yeah, similar amount. It's not significant different.
So around 1.5 billion in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, roughly.
Okay. And then what was the total CapEx, capital spending in 2023, and what is the expectation for 24?
For CapEx, yeah. Let me go into some details. For the 2023, our total CapEx is around RMB 18 billion. And we expect a range in 2024 is from 11 to 15 billion, depends on the market.
I see. Okay. And out of this 11 to 15 billion, is it almost 100% related to the module business, or is there anything related to the storage business as well?
It's related to our integrated solar manufacturing.
Okay. The next question is about the charges that you had in the operating expenses. You mentioned that the write down of assets as well as the settlement with the customer, if they had not happened, then the total operating expense would have been the same as the third quarter. So by my calculation, that is about 60 billion RMB or about $85 million. Is that, sorry, 0.6 billion RMB or about $85 million. Is that the correct number?
Yes, Rajiv, you're right. We did have some kind of special one-time items, in the fourth quarter last year. One is, I think, is some kind of customer dispute. It's around, the $30 million, which is we have some impairment, impairment for the equipment around $10 million. So we did have 40 million. I think one of items you can exclude.
I see.
Not recurring items. Yeah.
Okay. And comparing your cost structure to the tier two manufacturers, can you give us an idea? My calculation is that your cost structure in the fourth quarter was about 10 percentage points better than the tier two and tier three manufacturers. So, for example, if you did 12.5% gross margin, the tier two and tier three were operating at 2 to 3% gross margin. Can you comment on that?
We are confident that our cost structure is leading, and we have advantage. But we don't comment on detailed numbers, and different companies have different situations. But You're right, but if we are, let's say, making low profit levels, I think a lot of companies, you know, doing a similar business will lose the money. That is, we're very confident. And but again, I think it takes time, you know, to phase out the tier two, tier three companies. And it's after the consolidation and the phase out, and we think we can get more market share and make decent profitabilities. But it takes time.
Do you think at this point your cost structure is better than other tier one manufacturers?
I don't, you know, do 100% guarantee, but we are confident.
So you're confident that your cost structure is already equal to or better than other tier one manufacturers?
Yeah, we are confident that, you know, we are, our cost structure, capacity, technology is leading. Yeah.
Can you elaborate on the expected cost improvements that are likely to happen as a result of the integrated production that you're going to roll out next year of the Shaanxi plant? You know, how much of a cost advantage are you going to create as a result of the integration and everything happening in one location?
Yeah, that's it's not purely cost advantage. It's the Shaanxi, you know, sugar factories. It's digitalized and automatic, and you know, the ESG traceability is low carbon, everything, and we integrated a lot of advanced equipment and streamlined a lot of the, even phase out some production phase stage, and have significant workforce efficiency and very high turnover ratios and very good position locations to serve the customers in the West China as well as the global market customers. So the cost structure is, you know, it's reflecting the advantage, and it's a big amount, we believe, you know, but we don't disclose, but we think it's a big advantage, you know, with this existing production structures for the industry.
And finally, I want to confirm a number that I think Jenner gave. The total volume of shipments of N-type in the fourth quarter was it 70% of total shipments?
That's 70%, yes. 70%.
And did he say that in the first quarter it will be 85%?
Full year, let's say it's full year, it's around 90%. So gradually from 70% to 95% quarter by quarter and this year. So Q1 this year, I think roughly 80%.
Okay. Okay. In terms, going back to the gross margin, so you are suggesting that the first quarter gross margin should be slightly lower than the fourth quarter. So are we still looking at a number around 12%?
You mean the absolute number?
Yeah, the actual gross margin.
Yeah, we don't disclose that, but I said, you know, it's just very slightly, you know, downward, but not dramatically. But we think it's the bottom, and it's reaching the bottom, yeah, for the first half year.
So, So if the gross margin is around 12% in the first quarter, and the prices stabilize from March, April onwards, is it reasonable to think that gross margin could improve in the second quarter because your costs will keep on coming down? And also your shipments to the U.S., which are higher ASP, will go up?
We think, we have more likelihood to improve in the second half year. The improved outlook, the demand outlook, and you are talking about U.S. shipments, it's the second half year loaded. And I think roughly maybe, let's say, 60%, 65% shipments in the U.S. in the second half year. As well as, the Shanxi Super Factories is doing the highest productions, the first half year, but will be 100% operational by the end of the third quarter. So everything, together, we think it's the margin, the expansion is likely to, in the second half year.
And what do you think the impact of, you mentioned that by the fourth quarter, you expect that tier one companies or top 10 manufacturers will have as much as 90% of the market. That basically means tier three will have shut down and tier two will be selling much lower output than they are selling right now. What do you think that does to pricing by the fourth quarter?
It's the fourth quarter this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's difficult to estimate, but I think there should be stabilized. And on top, the most important thing, I think by the end of the fourth quarter, I believe a lot of industry players for tier two, tier three, and as well as the companies, they never in the solar industry but entered in the recent 1 or 2 years, those guys are going to, the capacity will be phased out 100%. So that's my estimation. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And good luck in 2024.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. And that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.